Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. A short verse, but full of life, for they were spoken by our Savior. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus said to the crowd that was before him that they knew there was an irrepressible spirit moving in the hearts of people when John came to the scene. Prior to that, there was a long stretch of quietness, of prophetic voice. After Malachi, there was no prophet to urge them and to revive them, until John suddenly burst forth in the Judean wilderness, crying out, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And when he shouted those words of repentance and the kingdom of heaven, people were stirred within their hearts. They couldn't stay back in their own homes. They rushed out. They rushed out of their huts and houses. They rushed out of their farms. They left their fishing boats and nets, and they all rushed to the Judean wilderness, not into an air-conditioned room, but to the wilderness, to hear John the Baptizer. So Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until near the kingdom of heaven. That's about the coming of Christ. He is the King. He came to bring the kingdom of heaven into the hearts of men. John predicted about it. And John was sent by God to prepare the way for the Savior. And because of that divine purpose and intent, because of the Spirit that was at work, people were stirred up in the heart. Of course, I agree that not all who came to John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were truly moved by God. They just pulled along when others moved. They were just observers. They were just spectators. They just didn't want to miss what's going on. They just want to be part of everything. They were not really men who were moved by the Spirit of God. They had their own carnal reasons for coming around John the Baptizer and Christ. But there were, mind you, men who came with great passion, unrestrained desire to hear, with great hunger and thirst. And this is what Jesus said: kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, I know of preachers and commentators who would say this is about persecution because of the word suffering. Suffering violence in particular. But in the context, you see nothing about persecution. Jesus was not talking about persecution. Jesus was talking about John's ministry. You can see that in the preceding context. And he was talking about the preaching and the result of John the Baptist's preaching. He was talking about the deep interest that was generated by John's preaching and now by Christ's arrival in the scene. The throng of people who pressed around John and Christ became extremely violent, not in attacking them, but in getting near to Christ, or near to both of these preachers, including Christ. Often when our Savior preached, it looked like people are going to press him, almost to squeeze him to death. Of course, there were enemies who wanted to kill him, but I'm not talking about them at this point of time. I'm talking about people who come with great earnestness, great fervor, great excitement. There was so much squeezing and pushing and elbowing and finding the way to Christ. Sometimes when Jesus started preaching, people crowded into the room. It was so full. You know, there was an instance they removed the roof to lower a sick man to get to Christ. Is it no violence? I mean, can you imagine Jesus comes into a house and you have no more roof? Would you like that? Would you like Jesus to come to your house? You may say, hey, if the husband is the one who is going to invite Jesus, the lady might say, I tell you something, we spend a lot of money for this roof. If you want to invite Jesus, make sure the roof is safe and nobody come through the roof. But you got a lot of conditions for having Christ. You go read the Gospels carefully. You can't help but seeing what's going on. You feel like screaming, what? You mean this went on? So much violence. People seem to be out of control. What are they looking for? I didn't see that when I came here. I don't see that in my church either in these days. It's so sad. We are all accustomed to a kind of calm, quiet, stylish worship. Come in very grand, sit very comfortably, don't disturb me. That's the attitude we all have in these days. I don't know whether it can be called Christianity or not. So intense was the desire to hear the Savior. They pressed upon him, almost to the point of treading upon him. Once when he was at Galilee region, the crowd was so violent, so pushy and excited. Jesus got into the boat and commanded, move it further down. And from the boat he preached to the people. Do you gather around your pastor like that? The poor pastor must come and then wait. Still not in. I don't know whether they will come. Lord, bring them quickly. It's already 10:30. Still got so many empty chairs. Oh boy, visitors are here. What will they think of our church? Look at this. Where are you, my friend? What got into your heart? Do you love him? Do you desire to be in his presence? What's going on? Jesus told them, Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now let me tell you, this cannot be about the devil attacking kingdom of heaven. Because devil cannot overtake kingdom of heaven. God is his king. God cannot be defeated. It's about people who inherit the kingdom of God. It's about people who come in to possess it. It's about people whom God would allow to take it. God cannot be defeated. Do you know that? So this violence is not about fighting against God, but fighting for the things that kingdom of heaven gives to us. Well now, somebody might say, Pastor Kushi, are you sure this is what it meant? I thought one is saved by the grace of God, one is saved by the work of God. Salvation is 100% of God. It is nothing of man. Salvation is of the Lord. So what are you talking about? Man must possess on his own. Oh, don't get me wrong, my dear friends. What I'm saying is this. When God's grace is at work in your heart, it will not make you sleepy about the kingdom of God. When God's grace is poured into your heart, you will be like a rushing mighty river, swallowing up the things that are in before you. Grace is not given so you may plunge into sin more, but to run away from sin, desiring, praying, pleading, beseeching God for His eternal salvation, rushing to the Savior saying, if you don't save me, no one to save me. O Son of David, have mercy on me. Please touch me. Please cleanse me. Please open my eyes. Please make me walk. Don't pass me by. But that is gone. Sorry if I woke up some babies. Well, my dear friends, everybody must wake up. This is of the kingdom of heaven this morning. Let's look at them. Let's look at these violent men whom the Lord is talking about. Who are they? They are the ones who say, Lord, these things that you talk about are not something that I naturally possess. I'm not worthy of these things. I can't. I don't possess them. I don't have them. But since you talk as though it is for me, then I will go. Have you seen some people in Singapore who will queue up when somebody says there's something free available? They all queue up, they push. Or if there is a good match going on in the National Stadium, which is no more there, they pull it down, they're going to rebuild. I think the reason why they want to rebuild, because whenever there's a big soccer match, a lot of people come, they want to accommodate more people and provide more facilities. You can see the crowd. They all run together, they gather together, they almost push to the point that the gate will come down. This is a great excitement. They're all there to get something. But when you look at some of these people who come to church today, I think the ushers find it very easy to usher in people. You know, the push and hush was so great and so violent that some of the weaker ones were pushed out, you know. The more physical ones seemed to be getting in. Even little ones who were brought by the mothers couldn't be brought near to Christ. Even the disciples who said, you stay there, you're not here to disturb Christ. You see there. But the mothers are not going to give up. They want to bring the children. So there was a commotion. Jesus noticed and told the disciples, don't stop them from coming. Let them come. Nowadays we see some mothers say, you don't do your homework, don't go to church. Church is secondary. Gospel is secondary. You've got to get more things of the world. You've got to go for drama class. You've got to go for ballet. You've got to go for tuition. You've got to go for all this. And the church, you see, we got time or not. How sad it is. These people, when they come to church, you will observe them. And you will see there is no yearning with them, no listlessness or inattention, no imagination that if they do but sit in the place an hour and a half, totally focused on the things of God. They meet together in the house of prayer. and they pray. They come early to pray. They beseech the Lord. They do things that would please the Lord. And they come saying, I'm going there to find mercy from the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm going to prayer meeting to find and rest to my soul. Oh, I'm so full of anguish about my sin. Oh Lord, I have so many temptations. I must find victory. I must know what God wants to tell me today. I want to know what God has given to my pastor so he may preach today. I want to know what area the Lord wants me to grow in the knowledge. I'm coming! I'm coming! Lord, bless me! Don't send me away without blessing my heart. There is a violence about their coming. Sometimes it's like the man who was sick for 38 years and laid beside the Bethesda pool. He didn't go home. You wonder why for so long this man should lie there. If not, for all the 38 years, at least for some period of time. He was sick for 38 years. Why would this man just wait and wait? And he has said to Christ that he wanted to get into the pool when the angel come and disturb the water, but he can never get in there because somebody else get there first. But he is still waiting. You know, in his paralytic situation, you see a sense of urgency, almost to the point of violence. Unexplainable desire. I mean, if it was your relative, you would go around and say, hey, come home. How long are you going to stay here? We all have no time to wait with you until the angel comes. Nobody knows when the angel is going to come. You think we all should waste time? Don't waste time. Let's go home. Why sit here alone in this public place? Come on. But there was this desire. Do you have that kind of feeling? Lord, I don't know how to worship. I'm not worthy to worship. I can't even get myself to worship. When I sing, my thoughts are all over the place. Oh, would you not send an angel and touch me? What is that? I'm like this. I want to join the chorus of the angels to praise you, but look at me. I'm a sinner. It is not with me to worship you. I'm a carnal man. Oh, woe unto me. I'm a wretched man. Or you say, who bothers? I try to be as respectful as I can so I can impress the elders and deacons. And I will just sing. And I make sure everybody knows I'm pretty religious. There is no violence about it. You just made everything smooth and got back home. And you're not going to get anything at all about true worship. Because you are satisfied about yourself. We're not talking about people who are satisfied. We're talking about people who are hungry for food. Have you seen people in Sudan and Ethiopia when somebody comes around to distribute food, how they behave? Even though they are so skinny, even though they are so weak, you can see them stretch their weak hand. They stretch as much as they can. And these poor people, all skeletons, push one another to grab a bread. That's what violence is all about. You do have that. Do you seek the Lord that way? Do you pray earnestly? Lord, save, or I perish. Oh Lord, save me, I'm ready to perish. Lord, I beseech thee, stretch out thine hand and rescue this poor soul. My dear hearers, have you ever been that violent man? Are you now a violent man before the King to receive His blessing? Do you come desperately before Him? Blessed be God if that holy violence, that solemn, sacred violence is within you now. Then I tell you, you will take heaven by force. By the force that the grace of God has created within you. The faith. Faith is not dead. It's living. Faith is full of expression. It is expectant. It hungers after God's righteousness. It thirsts for God's comfort and peace. Grace makes you to take the kingdom of heaven by storm. Oh, persevere in your prayers with importunity. Still plead, still wrestle, still continue in your prayers. And with patient wrestling, you will prevail. And it's all about a strong, unconquerable anxiety of our soul. It's all about a unquenchable thirst, as we sometimes say. We cannot afford to be strangers to the things of God. We cannot think of a life that is disconnected with Christ. How can we be Christians and be happy with a powerless life? I don't understand. Let me ask you, can you be a Sunday school teacher and then teach those children for 20 years and still feel okay even though nobody repented in your class? Huh? You know, I tell the Lord, I'm 46 years old. Lord, a lot of sickness and all other problems. I don't know when I'm going to die. But Lord, I'm like a fisherman because You told me that You will make me a fisher of men. Fishermen go to sea to catch fish. When they get one boat full of fish, they return, and next day they wouldn't say, okay, now I can take rest for 10 years. They go into deeper sea to catch another big catch, isn't it? So Lord, please give me 1,000 souls. You know, I love this hymn. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. When the congregation sing that song, my heart jumps out and say, Lord, only 100 here. Only 100 here. When will be that 1,000 around me to praise Thee? So one young man, when I said this in my church, said, Pastor Koshi, don't worry. You already preached to more than 1,000. Say, you shut up. You don't understand. You don't understand. Even among these 100, not everybody seems to be saved, you know. Because they say they are saved, I have to baptize. What to do? I wish I know their heart. Truly, some of them are not going to get to heaven, I tell you. Some of you here will not get to heaven because you have no violence about it. You are all in sin. You are so satisfied with God, ungodliness and carnality. And yet you tell your soul, don't worry, we are going to heaven because I have been to church. Sorry, sir. There is something about those who are saved. There is something about those who have received God's grace. God's grace is not going to push you back into sin and the world. It's going to draw you out every day to God. That's what grace is all about. It is the drawing power of God's mercy. That's what violence is all about. Those people in God's kingdom have life. They have energy. They have some powerful movement, which is not of themselves, but of the Spirit of God that is within them. They do mighty things. And they're never satisfied by a sluggish life. Yes. No man ever gets peace until he gets into such a passion of earnestness to be saved and to be at peace with God. Sometimes you wonder, how come there's so much problem in my house? Oh man, because you have not prayed for your wife, because you have not prayed for your children, you have not prayed for the spiritual nurture of your family. That's why you have all the problem. You got to go to God in violence of faith and seek for it. Just by watching TV, you can't get things done in the kingdom of God. Violence, take it by force. Now think about that. Not by ease and comfort, God's people come to God's kingdom. It is not through entertainment and a life of pleasure that you enter into the kingdom of God. Everyone in the kingdom of God is a soldier, is a fighter. So fight a good fight of faith. And that's how we are assured that we receive it. There are people like that in our church. We praise God for that. Mark such a man who is a true Christian. Mark his prayers. You will see there is violence in him. A dissatisfaction with the spiritual things that he has possessed. He wants more, in other words. I didn't mean to say he is dissatisfied with God. What I meant is he is dissatisfied with himself. When he considers his spiritual experiences, he wants more. Then God gives him one soul. He says, Lord, give me 10 more. And God gives him 10. He wouldn't say one more, but he will say, give me 100 more. And God gives him 100. He knows the power of God, so he will ask for 1,000 more. Mark him. Mark that Christian man. There is something earnest about him. Mark him when he preaches. Mark him when he prays. Mark him when he speaks. Mark him when he does something. Or mark that woman, even when she is in the kitchen. She does it all for the Lord's glory and with a passion. She cooks the food for the husband and children, knowing that she is the one that God has appointed to do that. And she do it with a prayer. Lord, as I care for the nurture of my family, may you bless my work. It is not like going to the kitchen. She didn't have got married. She didn't have prayed for all these children. Look at the trouble. And curse everybody. All the foul words come out. Have a moody spirit the whole day and tell everybody, I got a bad mood. Don't come near. Your husband also cannot come. Children also cannot come. Here you stand. What is that? Is it how the people of God's kingdom behave? No. You know, you could immediately say, Lord, something wrong with me. I'm not getting it right. Now, cannot be this way. Bless me, Lord. There are some husbands who never bothers. They can't even pray. They don't even have any interest in reading the Bible. But they are not troubled by it. It's all okay. After all, most people are like that. But not most people in God's kingdom like that. But those who are outside God's kingdom. I have seen quite a lot of dead men on the pulpit. I have seen quite a lot of dead men working as deacons. I've seen quite a lot of dead men who have been ordained as elders who do nothing as elders. Oh, my dear friends, isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? What happened to us? What happened to us? Have you received all the heavenly blessings He promised you? Why are you not finding strength in Him? Even when Apostle Paul was suffering because of the thorn in the flesh, he was a pretty old man by then. He wrote 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. He said, told us about this. He was affected by the thorn in the flesh. He couldn't move on. So he pleaded, not once, not twice, three times, Lord, take this away. But the Lord's answer was what? My grace is sufficient. And he asked for it, he received it, and he carried on. Some of us say, I retired already, don't want to preach. I have served when I was young. Now, let me sit here. Oh, sometimes, yes, God will take away your physical strength. But even on that sick bed, you must be a violent man for the Lord. If all that you can do is putting a smile on your face, do it for Christ. And some people say, smile for Jesus. But even that, also, we don't bother to have. We don't care whether we look gloomy or grouchy when we come to church. People always think, oh, what is this? This person always very unhappy. If somebody has told you, hey, smile, then you go and pray, Lord, please help me to smile for your glory, that I may bless someone. But some people I hear them saying, if I'm grouchy, I'm just that. You see? You get what you see. Okay? Don't ask me to change. That's it. If you don't like it, quit. What's that? What is this? Is it what Jesus teach you? Or the devil teach you? Is it what the kingdom of heaven teaches you? Or is it what the world teach you? Oh, we want to be living, vibrant preachers. We want to be serving deacons. We want to be feeding elders. We want to be caring mothers. We want to be loving and exhorting teachers of the Sunday school. We want to be the best for the Lord. And I say, Lord, we don't have the power. Have mercy to bless me. I'm heading to the church. I'm heading to the kitchen. I'm heading to my people. I'm going for prayer meeting. Lord, go with me. I don't even know how to pray. Sometimes when I pray, my mind gets distracted. But Lord, sanctify me. Sanctify my mind. Draw me to Thy presence. Where is that eagerness for the things that you don't have? You know, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. But some say, if he wants, let him fetch it. If he wants to bless me, bless me. Because the chairman says, stand, so I stand. Because he's saying, number 38, if I don't turn, everybody will look at me, so turn. What? What is this? Are you standing in ceremony or what? Why did you come? I tell you as a pastor, I don't want a church like this. I don't want a church like this. I didn't come to serve zombies. I came to see people who are thirsting after God's word. You know, sometimes I get very fed up with my people also. I get fed up with myself, by the way. I said, Lord, this is not the way it should be. If some here would bow his head, bend his knees and pray, Lord, revive us! Revive us! Revive us! For we have become sleepy. We lack life. Give us abundant, true life of thine. Come with passion, my dear friend. You must say to the Lord, I cannot live unless God bless me. I cannot exist unless I see some of these blessings that God promised to me. Oh, so I agonize in prayer. So I take heaven by violence. Don't disappoint me, Lord. Don't disappoint me. I want to read to you a portion from the Pilgrim's Progress. I think you might have read this before. John Bunyan was such a powerful writer of spiritual realities. He put in such similitude, such figurative terms. And listen to this. It's just a portion from his long story. He says in the story, I saw also that the interpreter took him by the hand and led him into a pleasant place where was built a stately palace, beautiful to behold, at the sight of which Christian was greatly delighted. He saw also upon the top thereof certain persons walking, who were clothed all in gold. Then said Christian, may we go in thither? Then the interpreter took him and led him up toward the door of the palace. And behold, at the door stood a great company of men, as desirous to go in, but durst not. There also sat a man at a little distance from the door, at a table side, with a book and his ink horn before him, to take the name of him that should enter therein. He saw also that in the doorway stood many men in armor to keep it, being resolved to do to the men that would enter what hurt and mischief they could. Now was Christian somewhat in amaze. At last, when every man started back for fear of the armed men, Christian saw a man of a very stout countenance come up to the man that sat there to write, saying, set down my name, sir. The which when he had done, he saw the man draw his sword and put a helmet upon his head and rush toward the door upon the armed men, who laid upon him with deadly force. But the man, not at all discouraged, fell to cutting, hacking most fiercely. So after he had received and given many wounds to those that attempted to keep him out, he cut his way through them all and pressed forward into the palace, at which there was a pleasant voice heard from those that were within, even those that walked upon the top of the palace, saying, come in, come in, eternal glory thou shalt win. So he went in and was clothed with such garments as they. John Bunyan put a reference, Matthew 11:12, right here. I guess you didn't come to go to heaven on a bed of feathers. The Bible clearly calls Christians overcomers. If you overcome, then you shall have life.
Grace does not teach us to feel comfortable in our sins and spiritual lethargy. Grace makes us most miserable when easily besetting sin pops up here and there. And we scream, no, no, draw the sword of the word of God. Hack it, kill it, mortify it. And then we fight. When spiritual lethargy takes hold of our soul, we cry, no. But in these days, we see Christians very smooth, steady, calm. They know how to walk and quietly turn away from the Lord for the whole week, do what they like. On Sunday, they put on the spiritual look, come to church, greet everybody, say a few words that are quite commonly used by Christians and pastors, and make it all look like you are a respected Christian man or woman. And you say at the end of the service, whew, it's over. Now I can go where I want to go. Nope. That's not Christian. That's not Christian. John Bunyan did not write that story for fun. He didn't write that story to make money from printers and publishers and distributors. That's why he ended up in jail. Violence for God. It's not good enough that you are in the company of the fighters. You yourself might be a fighter. You cannot say, I know this pastor, he fought for the truth. I know that man, he is a praying man. I love to talk to them, I love to be with them. But my dear friend, let me tell you, that will not make you a soldier. That will not make you a conqueror. You yourself must fight. Fight a good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Then you can say at the end of it all, as Apostle Paul said at the end of his journey, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. May God help us to take heaven and the promises of heaven by the violence of faith. May grace teach you to plead, oh, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my cry. Don't pass me by without blessing. Let's learn to wrestle like Jacob with the angel of the Lord. Let's fight. Not fight against one another. Don't get me wrong. Not fighting against one another. But fighting against sin and hell. So that we might possess by faith the things that God has stretched out for our enjoyment. Let's have them. Let's seek them. Let us never be satisfied until we have them all by His grace. Lord bless us as we now depart from the house of worship. Go with us and continue to renew our spirit, O Savior, by Thy Spirit, that we might be truly those who covet after the things of God, those who thirst, those who hunger, those who strive not only to get into the kingdom of God and to abide therein always. O Lord, visit us, we pray. Go with us, we pray. Fill us with Thy grace and peace. Now, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.